Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us, and we're going to talk about special teams, the 2012 special teams of the Browns. Review that. It was a story, as it always is, Jim, about Phil Dawson being unbelievable, finally, finally getting that Pro Bowl berth that's been long overdue for him.
It has been long overdue. It's been something that we've known what a great kicker he is, and I think that the NFL has been a little bit slow to react to, and maybe really you take a look at that and you say, boy, kickers make their living in making big kicks probably in big games. And
yeah.
Phil has certainly made a lot of big kicks, but the Browns haven't been in a lot of big games, I guess. And so that's probably hurt him a great deal. But I have just watched and witnessed him get better and better. Not lose anything, Vic.
I know.
You never say, boy, Phil seems to have lost a little bit here. He's gotten better and better. And each offseason, it seems as though he focuses in on something. Hey, I want to do different kinds of kickoffs. I want to adapt to the rules of the game and make it so that nobody returns my kickoffs. Or maybe I want them to return the kickoff, but more directionally. Mm. And he's gotten so good at that. And, of course, his distance of 50 and over has just been not only the fact that he gets it there, but that he gets it through those uprights. I mean, so easily and so effectively. It's just been something to watch. It really has.
It isn't a cliche to say he's gotten better with age.
Oh.
And I've heard a lot of different special teams coaches tell me that is the one spot where age is an advantage, where you want that older veteran, especially in those clutch situations, to call upon that poise and skill, and in Phil's case, that unique ability to figure out the weather patterns, the wind patterns,
yeah,
and overcome them.
It's amazing how he plans that through the week and how he is very serious about it. I mean, you can go up and kid with him about, hey, what's the weather going to be on Sunday? But he takes it very seriously,
yeah,
that he's going to tell you what's going on the whole week leading up to Sunday. This will be a very, very interesting situation because you're going to have he's a tremendously popular Cleveland Brown,
yeah,
and deservedly so. So you're not going to have that archaic thinking, Vic, that, you know, if the Browns didn't come to a deal with him, that people would say, you can find a kicker anywhere. Because this guy's a very special kicker for this climate, for
right,
this city, for that stadium, for this division.
Yep.
And that, I would, you know how you'd say you never wanted to be the UCLA coach after John Wooden or the Packer coach after Vince Lombardi?
Right.
I wouldn't want to be the Browns kicker after Phil Dawson. I hope we don't get there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we do, that's going to be a very, very important decision.
No, I think that's a huge point. And I think the rest of this special teams unit, certainly about coverage, and the coverage was strong. When you think about and talk about the work that Johnson Batamosi, that name that we heard about and talked about all summer long, and a lot of times you get on those summer discussions about a player and they're all Berea, but then when it comes
right
to the real thing, do they disappear? This guy didn't disappear. Pat Shurmur, the former coach of the Browns, was high on him, would tell us every chance he got when
yes
we had those production
yeah
meetings with him in the summer that this was a guy he was eyeing to have the impact that he had.
I mean, this guy came from way back in the pack, but he stayed in the pack all the time. And then when given the opportunity, he moved ahead and he realized his role to make the team was going to be on special teams. No question about it. And I think it was very telling that he came on and he made the team. This was not a practice squad guy
no
that all of a sudden was elevated. And those are great stories, too. This is a guy that came from Stanford, a rugby player, just made big plays. He showed himself on film and during practices, during special teams. And obviously, Chris Tabor was very, very, you know, instrumental in having Pat watch him. Pat really did like him. You're right. Every time we met with him before
yeah
a preseason
right
game, they wanted to play him more. The interesting part was that even in a very dicey situation down in Dallas, you know, he went out on the field and he played in the Browns secondary that day
right
against the Cowboys when everything just collapsed on the Browns in the secondary because Hayden being out, Sheldon Brown getting banged up, and Buster Skrine getting picked on. I mean, he went in there and he held his own.
Yeah, he was one of the fun and really great stories, and I think it gets better for him as it goes longer. By the way, you're going to hear from him a little later on this show, Jameer Howerton sitting down with Johnson Batamosi. Jim Donovan is who you're listening to now, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The punting game, Reggie Hodges coming back from that Achilles injury, and I thought for him there were a couple of big challenges. One was recovering from that severe injury that he had suffered at the start of the 2011 training camp. Okay, and you know, you're talking about getting your footing, your plant, and kicking. putting pressure on that and having it hold up and trusting it. And I think for the most part, that seemed to be true. The other challenge is he really, for the first time in his career, worked with Chris Tabor, who was the special teams coach, who he didn't get a chance to work for because of that injury, work with, I should say, in 2011. And Chris's philosophy, different than what I think Reggie had been used to, more directional kicking. And Reggie's, I think, used to just being a distance kicker,
right?
The high kick.
That's right.
So he had to find that happy medium, yeah. Jim. I think as the year went on, he was getting there.
Yeah, because if you go back, and you bring up an excellent point, because if you go back 1 year when he got hurt and Brad Maynard came in and handled the punting, remember Brad had worked with Chris Tabor in Chicago.
Right.
Right, and that was – and of course – Brad Maynard is very, very good at tucking the ball in inside the
directional
10.
Kicking's his thing.
Unbelievable. I mean, he could put a clinic on doing it, so that was going to be a tough act to follow there. I thought Hodges, you're right, Vic, got better as the year went along, and I think that we probably underestimated, you know, how difficult it is to come back from that injury that he had, an Achilles, and be a punter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really. Yeah. And I thought he got better as the season went along. And, you know, I thought that he made it through the year, which is good. He made it through the year healthy, which was even better. And I don't think he was the Hodges of 2 years ago. But I think that, you know, he was certainly somebody that was on the rise and feeling more comfortable, I think, as the year went along.
Yeah, I think people, because there were some concerns, you know, is the punting in good shape, in good hands, or in a good foot? But it took a while, and I think by that second half of the season, it calmed down a little bit. The return game, of
fascinating.
Course. Fascinating,
yeah.
Right? We can talk about that because, first of all, Josh Cribbs could very well end up being in the Pro Bowl, a second Pro Bowler, because of his alternate status. And as we look at his game now, he doesn't have that speed that he used that I think that defined him early on, but a powerful runner, a tough runner. He seemed like he did more of that running into traffic and was trying to bowl people over more than avoiding them.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that at one point in the season. And there were a couple of times earlier in his career where he did not have that burst. And it was easily explained because he was the victim of high ankle sprains and things like that, and those cut down your burst. But I noticed this year he was a more physical, take-you-on returner, and he had a couple of long ones. He was close a couple of times to just being a shoe-top tackle away from taking it all the way. But what I did notice is he gave you that 30, 35-yard return that he typically took on tacklers. He didn't really run away from them, but he took them on and he carried people, which was different. It was a really different kind of return style that I noticed in him. And yet it was effective. I thought he was pretty darn good about it. I think there was a time late in the season, Vic, where I thought he made some troubling decisions on bringing balls out when he just felt he wasn't enough of a part of the game and he was going to try and become part of the game. I thought he forced himself on the game a couple of times and he came out, he made some bad decisions. But he was very physical. I mean, gosh, he took a horrible hit in Baltimore that time in that Thursday night game. And yet he keeps coming back at you.
And then, of course, a very interesting new guy to the scene, rookie Travis Benjamin, as the tremendous speed that he brings, the future, I think, of the Browns' return game, quite obviously. And that moment when the Browns pulled out that funky strategy where against the Chiefs where they had Travis Benjamin originally up at the line in a gunner position, he ends up going back, trading places with Josh Cribbs, who goes up to block the punt. That was the whole idea.
Yeah.
And it sets up a 93-yard touchdown return for Travis Benjamin.
Might have been the play of the year. 93 yards, but if you take a look at it in theme and in theory, it might have been symbolic of the changing of the guard a little bit back there returning. I mean, again, Cribbs falls into the same type of category that Dawson is in. Are they going to get a deal done with him? He's a free agent. Benjamin he's here. I mean, he is here. He's not going away.
Right.
And you don't give away guys, obviously, Vic, with speed like that. So where it translates into the receiving game, you know, still remains a question. But it's got a bright future there. But the most obvious place for Benjamin is returning with that speed because, boy, we saw it a lot in preseason.
Yes.
But then it was a given that Cripps would take over the duties. But when we saw it against Kansas City, that was an amazing moment.
I think it was, and you're right. I think that was the proverbial passing of the baton. and we'll see where it goes from here. But the speed is the precious part of that return game, and I think it's just getting started. I think Travis Benjamin is just learning how to return. I mean, it's an education besides speed and instinct that he's following the set return plans that are there.
You know, I want to congratulate Chris Tabor for really coming on and doing a great job, because I go back to his first year with the Browns, and you know that I think he came in on a Thursday, Vic, after that horrible special teams game in Oakland against the Raiders, and they had the fake field goal that went for a touchdown. They gave up a return in that game, and that's tough when a special teams coach. You know, imagine how Jerry Rossberg, who is a legend in Cleveland, and the guy that found Cribs when he was the special teams coordinator here, imagine how he feels as a member of the Ravens, even though they won that playoff game, to give up those two huge returns in the game against the Broncos. Sometimes you don't know who the special teams coordinator is until it's a bad game.
Yeah.
But I thought Chris had a great year with that group, and I thought they got better and better as the year went on.
So do you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you tonight, Vic.
We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. A conversation with Johnson Badamosi as we continue our review of the special teams from the 2012 season. Jameer Howerton will be sitting down with him. That's next on ESPN 850 WKNR.